It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Hour number two of Puck and Slick with Joe Fan filling in for Jason Puckett. Quick headlines brought to you by VenueKings.com. Seahawks mandatory minicamp wrapped up yesterday, and Rashad Penny was a no-show. We know that. Alden Smith was not present either for any of the minicamp days. We'll get into why. Hopefully in the 12 o'clock hour, we'll have a couple minutes for that. When last night the Mariners rallied in the ninth inning, they do beat the Rays 6-5. Pinch hit walk off RBI single by Kyle Seager in the ninth inning. Tonight it'll be Kikuchi versus Waka in game 2 out of 4 against the Rays. And if you want to tune into some NHL Stanley Cup playoffs, don't forget tonight, right here on Sports Radio 950 KJR at 5 o'clock, you've got the Las Vegas Golden Knights squaring off against the Montreal Canadiens in Game 3 of that matchup. All right, Curtis, here we go. Kevin Calabro.
Bulgarian trap to Devon. To Garrett. Oh, the tomahawk jam from the right man. Oh, a screamer.
Coming to you live from our Elliott Avenue studios of Sports Radio 950 KJR.
Oh, the Hawk on a Friday night gets busy early.
It's time to talk some NBA with the former voice of your Seattle Supersonics, Kevin Calabro.
Peyton is on that magic carpet ride.
Now with KC.
With the left-handed thrust, get out the way. Clear the building.
Here's Puck and Slick.
All the opens that we do, that might be my favorite. I mean, you get all the great calls from KC. You got the NBA and NBC music, which is my favorite sports theme of all time. Just all of it. And as we bring in Kevin Calabro. Kevin, thanks for joining us. You got Joe Fan alongside with me here.
KC, what's up, my man?
Good, Slick. How you doing, Joe?
We're real good, real good. Joe's filling in. Jason Puckett is, I think he's somewhere in Montana right about now, assuming
he's got no cell service wherever he is. So we can say whatever we want about him. He has no idea.
Hey, you better have reservations. Have you seen the national parks? They're overwhelmed right now. If you don't have a reservation, don't go. I can just see him sleeping with his family in the van in a Walmart parking lot.
Which I think he's done before, and he's not necessarily a planner. He might be thinking he can just show up at Yellowstone and be like, okay, here we are, we're the Puckets. No, not so much. So actually, I would love to see that scene. I can't wait to see that picture if that is what happens, Casey.
Yeah.
Hey, Casey, real quick, how's the golf game right now? Are you dialed as the weather's getting just primed here in the Pacific Northwest?
You know, I've been hitting a little bit over at Gamble Sands, I got to admit. And, you know, it's gotten no better, but it's gotten no worse, Joe. I've kind of plateaued at my age. I know you young guys have those long, limber backs, you know, you can reach back and get a little extra. But I'm kind of happy with my game. You know, I shoot mid to low 80s, and, you know, I'm still playing from the blue tees about anywhere I go. I can still walk a golf course, you know, without a limp, so. You know, all these are positives for me.
Well, someday I'd love to tee it up with you, man.
Let's do it. Anytime.
I love it. All right, Slick. Enough golf. We could talk golf. As I'm watching the U.S. Open, talking to KC about Gamble Sands, a place I've never been. I'm looking forward to getting out there at some point this summer.
No,
but
awesome.
There is a lot of hoops to talk as well.
No, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Want to start in the Eastern Conference, which that's new for me. I'm a Western Conference guy, but this Bucks-Nets series is just so fascinating to me. I couldn't believe the meltdown that Milwaukee had in Game 5. Game 6 kind of went the way I expected Game 5 to go, albeit it was in Milwaukee. You've got a hobbled James Harden, no Kyrie, and Kevin Durant. He's able to take over Game 5, couldn't necessarily do it for Game 6. But this series has been one of the more entertaining ones of the playoffs for me.
Yeah, the home team has won. The home team has prevailed. They go to Brooklyn tomorrow, Game 7. Durant was sensational at Game 5. I mean, it was a game for the ages, the 49-15, 11, a couple of blocks, a couple of steals. But Jeff Green was very good in that game as well. Harden, not so much, still dragging the leg, but he looked better last night, played 40 minutes last night. Durant played long minutes last night. He played 40-plus minutes. In Game 5, he played 48. Mm-hmm. And, you know, obviously the Bucks had the 16-point lead in Game 5. There were several miscommunications late in the game between Middleton and Giannis. Giannis obviously is... he's not an asset from the three-point line. In Game 6 last night, I don't think he shot a three-point shot. He got to the paint. He did some great things down there. And, of course, Chris Middleton saved him with the 38-point performance last night. I think this Game 7 comes down to who's the greater player. Is it Giannis or is it Kevin Durant? It's going to come down to the second half. It'll come down to tight situations when you need a stop and you need a bucket. Who are you going to depend on? A guy who is nearly automatic from the free throw line in the 3-point range, or Giannis Antetokounmpo, who's, let's face it, he's shaky at the free throw line. I mean, I think he was 4 of 6 or 4 of 7, something like that in Game 6, which is, you know, that's worth throwing a parade for the guy. And he's not a guy you can depend on from 3-point range. And at some point, Budenholzer is going to have to decide that he's going to put Giannis on Durant. That's what it's got to come down to in the fourth quarter. You can't defend him with Brook Lopez. You can't defend him with Pat Connaughton, as they tried to do in Game 5 late in the game. You have to put Giannis on Durant. That's what I'm looking forward to. That, to me, is the best-case scenario. Tight game, fourth quarter. It's Giannis. It's against Durant. Here we go.
I loved the video of Harden just fed up at the free throw line waiting for Giannis to shoot the dang ball. We've all been, again, to bring it back to golf, where you're playing with a random, you got a twosome, you matched up with a random twosome, and you're just sitting there waiting for this pre-shot routine to end. And then they inevitably slice it 100 yards right, and you're saying, can we just hurry that process up? Like, it's okay to be terrible. Just be terrible faster. Yeah. And, like, that's coming from a trash golfer myself. And so it's just like, let's get this show on the road. Casey, I've seen some chatter on Twitter, and I hate this conversation, and I want to know what you think about it when you see it, that this season, given all the injuries, and now Chris Paul's on the COVID list, that there's an asterisk next to it. Mm. And whoever wins, it's just we got lucky that they were the healthiest. And to me, that's a garbage opinion, because every team is playing under the same parameters. You can only put an asterisk under something that has where one team would have an advantage, or a set of teams would have an advantage over others. To me, this is just, it's a weird season. It's a weird playoffs. This has been a weird year plus for everybody, but that doesn't change the fact that this is the same 16 games every team has to win, and if it's a war of attrition, it's a war of attrition.
Yeah, I mean, you guys have been around a long time. You followed the NBA. It was a compressed schedule this year, granted, 72 games. LeBron James spoke to this issue, and I would agree with him. I think because of the busier than normal season, the lack of really an off season that these guys are accustomed to, certainly there may be more injuries within the league. But you're right. Everybody is playing by the same parameters, the same rules. It's unfortunate, that we don't have a healthy Donovan Mitchell and Mike Conley not playing at all in that series. It's unfortunate that we don't have Kawhi Leonard possibly playing at all the rest of the way here. But in the interim, you've seen, to go back to the Western Conference now, you've seen the Clippers survive down 2-0, make some adjustments, and Paul George was magnificent in Game 5.
Playoff P is back.
In Game 5. and Donovan Mitchell clearly has trouble with the ankle. I don't think there's any question about that. He's listed, I believe, as doubtful for the game coming up, as is Conley. Very possibly deciding Game 6. And with the Clippers coming from... they may fire Tyronn Lue. Tyronn Lue has done it again. You know, he's 3-0 lifetime in Game 7s of series. He did it when Cleveland came from 3-1 back. Now, granted, he had LeBron James playing for him when they beat the Warriors when they were down 3-1, but he's been able to do it. So there have been so many good stories of teams that have overcome the injury, certainly, and it prevailed. But it's touched everybody. DiVincenzo with Milwaukee. Obviously, the injury to Kyrie there with the Nets, the Philadelphia 76ers, that story has been amazing. And the Atlanta-Philadelphia series has been crazy. Atlanta without DeAndre Hunter, one of their key guys as well, out of the mix. But you know, it's all hands on deck, and they've been able to get it done.
We talk about that series. I mean, 76ers fans would like to put an asterisk on Game 5 itself, just the way that went down.
Oh, my
that
God.
Incredible comeback with Trae Young. I just can a team even, I mean, in these next two games, if you even get two games out of it, can they even respond to that? I mean, because that is just demoralizing.
Well, they'd better. I mean, if they don't, it's clear that, you know, they've got to move on to something else.
Yeah.
You know, but Simmons is shooting 32% in the playoffs from the free throw line. He's getting there nearly seven times a game, and Nate McMillan went to it early in the second quarter play. They're going to just go foul Simmons. They're going to slow this thing down to ugly it up if they have to. And it seems like Atlanta plays best when they're down big. I mean, they're down 26, and they just chip away at this thing.
Yeah.
They put Lou Will in there with Trae Young. John Collins gets absolutely hot. Capella has played wonderfully. You know, even Danilo Gallinari hit a couple of big shots in that fourth quarter late. So Atlanta's just been so much fun to watch. I mean, it's a 4:30 start tonight. I know, you know, you guys want to head to the club on a Friday, you know, get all prepped for the club on Friday. You know, we're kind of relaxing things, and you want to get out there and you want to strut on a Friday night around Seattle. But I'm guessing you're going to put that off, because 4:30, we've got a great game starting up with Atlanta. I never thought I would say that Atlanta is much watch TV, but they really are. Trae Young is just as exciting a player as I've seen in a long time. I mean, and that trade between they and Dallas, with Doncic going to Dallas and then Trae Young coming over with the pick, which turned out to be, by the way, Cam Reddish. Remember coming out of Duke? A lot of people like Cam Reddish, but he was hurt this year. You know, the story hasn't been written on him either completely, and you just really like Atlanta. A lot of upside. No doubt they're going to re-sign Nate McMillan. He's done a great job with that club. That's going to be fun to see tonight. If Embiid can play well in the fourth quarter, if he has the stamina to carry that team, where has Tobias Harris been, for goodness sakes? And can Simmons hit a free throw shot? I think they're going to need a red-hot Seth Curry as well. He's right now, he's their third scoring option.
I love how you have my social life nailed, by the way. I mean, I'm out there clubbing 2-3 nights a week. You know this.
Well, that's what I've heard on the show.
Exactly.
You've been pretty transparent about that.
Well, I mean, you know, everyone knows that Slick is the mayor of the Seattle nightlife scene. Kevin, should we be surprised that Ben Simmons has been as much of a dud as he has been? And we know the numbers during the regular season, even these playoff games, are okay for someone who is seen as a role player. But this whole process is based around the fact of having two superstars. And right now it's Joel Embiid, the superstar, and two other really good players. And that's not good enough in today's NBA, especially when one's a shooting liability at the free throw line and you don't have to respect his jumper even a little bit. This is a guy who didn't make the tournament in college in his 1 year at LSU, and he hasn't done a whole lot to really feel like his ceiling is going up and his trajectory is going up. It seems like he's a guy who just is who he is at this point.
Well, yeah, if you're making $30+ million a year, you would think you could count on the guy for, you know, 35% from three at least, get to the free throw line and hit around 70, you know, to 75% at bare minimum. Hmm. But he's not even coming close to that.
It's inexcusable.
I'll add one other thing. If he's being touted, as, you know, a lot of people have in the NBA, is this year being, you know, defensive player of the year, and he's certainly one of the top defenders in the league, he hasn't had any, to my way of thinking, he hasn't had any demonstrable effect on what Trae Young has done. Young has lit him up. So, yeah, that's why I say Philadelphia could be a loss away from really reevaluating what they're going to do moving forward. They could be very much a player in the trade market this summer. And, boy, you just wonder. I don't wonder at all about the effectiveness or his capability of coaching Doc Rivers. But, you know, you look at Doc and you go, oh, my gosh, it's happened again. You know, and remember those Clipper teams up 3-1 in that series with Houston, and they blew that. It's a tough one to see. You know, Doc Rivers go through this. Is that lead just kept dwindling, and Atlanta just kept coming in that crucial game.
Kevin, it's a mass exodus in Dallas right now, and I just wonder, you know, how far that thing's going to spiral, and if, you know, Luka Doncic is going to end up being the next domino to fall, just with that, as unhappy as he's been.
Well, not for $200 million, which will be the max extension he'll be available to him this summer. So I don't think there's any question about that. You know, he's gonna bank that. He'll get 5 years at incredible money, $200 million+. Porzingis is making better north of $100 million over the next 3 years. I think that's the biggest question in Dallas, is what happens next. I saw just before we came on the air that Dirk Nowitzki, of course, all-time great guy, extremely intelligent, knows the game, champion, obviously a Dallas Maverick through and through, has been asked to come on board and advise Mark Cuban, who's had a tough week. The Athletic laid out an unflattering piece on the Dallas Mavericks and sort of the confusion in the front office and so forth. Then they let Donnie Nelson Jr. go, who's been with the organization for 25 years. I think he's been the GM there for 16 of those years. And then Rick Carlisle steps away to join six other coaches who are, you know, other vacancies out there. Seven vacancies right now in the NBA. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if Carlisle makes Boston his final landing spot. But things were not, it was not a good 48 hours in Dallas. Luka is the guy. Luka's who's going to call the shots. But you have the supreme ego of Mark Cuban. So stand by. This is going to be an all-timer down there in Dallas. Again, another fun soap opera-type summer in Dallas in the NBA.
I want to stay in the Western Conference and talk about the Suns. I have a soft spot in my heart for Suns fans because I feel like they are a fan base that can understand the plight of a Mariners fan and the pain that has existed these last couple of decades to be a Mariners fan. The Suns fans have been through the ringer, whether it's disappointing playoff losses, which obviously isn't the case for the Mariners, whether it's just not making the playoffs to begin with, missed draft picks, wrong coaching hires. The gambit has been run, an ownership group that has you know, drawn the ire of fans. But now they are in the driver's seat, and as long as Chris Paul isn't missing significant time in the Western Conference Finals, which they're hoping that series with the Jazz and Clippers goes seven, I mean, is this a team that has completely caught you off guard? I think Chris Paul is getting warranted love for, you know, what should have been some MVP conversation. He probably was in the mix as well. I mean, he's been tremendous. He's transformed the team. We're seeing Devin Booker shine into one of the game's elite stars.
Well, of course, you know, without Chris Paul, the Suns went on that serious run in the bubble last summer. I think they were 8-0. They were undefeated in the bubble, but it still didn't make the playoffs. So you had a sense that they, you know, pulling some stuff together. You know, you knew that DeAndre Ayton was going to be an impact guy eventually, and here he is. Mikal Bridges is, I think, a really unsung guy on that ball club. He's a true 3-and-D guy. He can defend extremely well. He had the assignment a lot on LeBron in the last series, and he shoots that three at better than 35%. And then, of course, you have Devin Booker, who's as good as there is at the two spot and is going to be a perennial all-star and a perennial all-NBA. And then you add that to that, obviously, Chris Paul, who's had so many years in the league at orchestrating. I don't think there's a better guy at setting the floor, getting your team into their sets, read, recognizing, countering what defenses throw at him. I mean, what they call a real general on the court, and a guy who can get to the mid-range, who doesn't dwell outside the three, doesn't need the bomb, but is able to come off the screen and then just kind of orchestrate and read things, get a guy like Ayton rolling to the rim, kick it in the corner to Bridges for three, get it out to Booker, who's slashing or shooting the three, or he hits that mid-range. I mean, that dude comes off the screen, and those defenses drop in the paint, and he just feasts on that little 12 to 15-footer. He doesn't miss. So you hit it on the head, though. It depends on the COVID protocol. He may miss the first couple of games of the Western Conference if he has to sit out. And I don't know the intricacies of the policy, but if he has to sit out the 10 days or whatever it is, the clock is ticking on that.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? a woo-hoo-er, a hand clapper, a high-fiver. I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. And you're right. They do want to extend that series if they can, but that's really been, you're right, a great story. And, you know, kudos to the ownership. You know, Robert Sarver was much maligned for many, many years for good reason. But he has decided to step out of the picture, let James Jones take over. And then he was the guy that went out there and ultimately, talked Chris Paul into coming down to Phoenix. Phoenix now player for free agents. Remember, that was the back in the day. That was the place that a lot of guys wanted to land, was there in the desert to play golf. It always comes back to golf, doesn't it? To play golf and enjoy the sunshine down there in Phoenix.
As well it should. And as we wrap up here, Kevin, I encourage you, step back out there, back out onto the course today if you get a chance. Meanwhile, I will put on my dancing shoes out here in Seattle, and we'll all enjoy the rest of these conference semifinals, and we'll get back here next Friday and do it all again. How's that sound?
You got it. Great talking to you, Slick. Joe, keep on doing the fine work, man.
I appreciate it. Good chat with you, KC. And I'm going to hit you up. Let's find a way to play some golf this summer.
We shall do it.
And I will caddy or just drink along. I'll do all of it. Kevin Calabro joining us right here on Sports Radio 950 KJR, the Beacon Plumbing Hotline, as he does every Friday here at 11 o'clock. Really quickly, the Circling Raven leaderboard update brought to you by Circling Raven Golf Course in Worley, Idaho, CDACasino.com for their stay and play package. Richard Bland still holding him off. He's at 500 through 14 today. Russell Henley has yet to tee off for his second round at the U.S. Open. Been down there at Torrey Pines. Louis Oosthuizen, Francesco Molinari, Rafa Cabrera-Bello, and Rikuya Hoshino all are there at 3-under down at Torrey Pines. Quick break. When we come back, Jim Moore going to come on and hang out with us for a few minutes here on Sports Radio 950 KJR.
Because the Ninja Moore is going to style and profile. You're going to bleed all night long.
All right, big thanks there to Kevin Calabro coming on with us as he does every week. Just like Jim Moore comes on with us every single week here on Sports Radio 950 KJR. Puck and Slick Show, no Jason Puckett. Joe Fan filling in as we bring in Jim Moore, courtesy of Fairway Mortgage of Auburn. They serve every type of loan, but Fairway Mortgage of Auburn specializes in reverse mortgages, people. Tom is the branch manager. Talk to Tom. Go to retirethefairway.com or call 833-397-3837. Jim, welcome in. It's good to talk to you.
Thanks, you guys. How you doing, Gerald?
Hey, Jim.
Jim, what's up, brother? How are you, man? It's good to chat with you.
I'm doing great. I'm out at High Cedars this morning. I'm playing with some buddies and running the 16th tee and got Mount Rainier just sticking out like it always is here. High Cedars, and having a good time.
How are the vibes right now? How's the round going? Weather is beautiful, but how are you swinging it today?
Okay, not great. I mean, I have 41 on the front. I'm like 4 over on the back, and playing all right.
Oh, so you're like good.
You're
like the guy who's gonna whine about a 41. That's okay. I know. I know everything I need to know about you now, Jim Moore.
No, I'm not. No, Slick, I'm not whining about 41 because I'm really not all that good. But I just, I batted around and I'm always working on my game. And I've certainly had time to play golf since I got laid off in November. So, I mean, what the hell? What else am I supposed to do? I mean, I'm kind of looking for work. But when you have guys like Joe Fan who are a lot younger and a lot more talented than I am, it's hard to find a job, okay? So I'm out golfing instead.
Jim, what's beautiful is I, too, am looking for a job. So you and I need to get golfing here soon because I'm going to have plenty of time for it as well.
But, Joe, you're not going to be unemployed very long. I've been unemployed for 7 months. You're going to be unemployed for, what, 7 days maybe?
We'll figure
because
it out.
I mean, you're so good at what you do with covering the Seahawks, and I know that you're going to be gobbled up, if not by a sports radio station, by someone else. So I don't think you're going to be out of work for very long.
I appreciate that. Jim, in between your rounds, how much are you keeping tabs on what's been happening with the Seahawks the moves they've made this offseason, what's transpired during OTAs and minicamp, and maybe where your pulse on the team is as they go into this summer break 6 weeks before they report for camp on in late July.
Well, I think they're in a good spot, aren't they? I still, of course, Joe, I'm kind of skeptical, glass half empty guy, and I like what they did bringing in Shane Waldron. I'm still kind of skeptical about Russell and Pete's relationship. I suppose that it's going to be good as long as they win and have success on offense, and with Gerald Everett coming in and Eskridge, and they look good to go. Carson coming back. Defensively, they've got some pass rushers. I'm not so sure. Yeah, Kids Have Sun, I wrote a story about Jamal Adams, and I know everybody assumes that he's going to get a deal done before training camp starts, but how far do you think they're apart on that? Because it sure sounds like from reading you and hearing you and everybody else who covers the team that he might want $20 million, and Schneider might be more in the ballpark of $15 to $16 million, and that's quite a gap there.
It is a gap, and that's why I think it's – just because Pete Carroll says, don't worry about it, something's going to get done. Like, that sounds great, and I know Jamal Adams wants to get a deal done, the Seahawks want to get a deal done, but this is such a unique case.
Is Pete Carroll worried about anything in his life, by the way?
Yeah, it's a good point. Not publicly. Not publicly.
What would you pay him? Because
I think you're going to have to find a way to, like, meet at, like, 17 and a half.
Yeah, I think he's going to get around 18.
Because set the safety market,
But is he worth that?
He has to be.
Well, he's not, but...
You know, that's another conversation, but you made the trade for him knowing this was ahead. So at this point, not paying him isn't an option. Like, you knew exactly who he was when you traded two first-round picks for him. But now with the safety, you know, you say, you could give him 16 and you say, wow, congratulations, you reset the safety market because Justin Simmons is at 15.25. But he's going to say, I'm not a safety, I'm a playmaker. Yeah. John Schneider, Pete Carroll, I'm a playmaker. I'm not a safety. And I want to be looking towards that big top dollar defensive money of Jalen Ramsey and the top pass rushers that are north of $20 million. So that's a big gap there that they're going to have to find a way to meet in the middle. So my guess is a 17.5 range average per year.
Another reason why you don't give up two first rounders and change on a safety.
And choose not to sign him immediately.
But
wait a minute, Joe Anslick. Would it be the worst thing in the world to just let him play out the contract?
Because he's not going to play out the contract. That's the issue.
Is he guaranteed in your mind, does he make the Seahawks defense better? And the only reason I say that, I know he's a terrific player. He's all over the place. 9.5 sacks last year. Defensive back has never done that in NFL history. So, but... I just, in my mind, I'm thinking, do those guys have everything down when he's playing all these different positions?
Right.
And you know, you got new cornerbacks out there. Do they know what's going on? I mean, they've got enough on their minds, you know. And maybe I'm oversimplifying this. I have a tendency to do that. But, like,
that's all right.
Do they wonder where Jamal's going to be all the time? I mean, we always knew where Cam was going to be, but what about Jamal? Wait a minute. Okay, he's lining up. He's in the box. He's at strong safety. He's a free safety. He's all over the place. And I know that you like his versatility, the Seahawks love players like that.
Yeah.
But I just wonder if it's counterproductive sometimes. Like, sometimes I go back and I go, okay, 9.5 sacks, man, that's terrific. But how many times did he not get to the quarterback and leave yourself vulnerable on the back end?
It is counterproductive sometimes. Your question was, does he make the Seahawks defense better? I think he absolutely does. But it's just how much impact, A, can a safety make? And then, B, is that impact that he's having even as a safety? Is it as a blitzing linebacker, which is what he's been? And to your question, I think there were times last year where defensively they were a little bit lost when he's roaming, you know, the line of scrimmage and he's not getting to the quarterback, which was most of the times that he blitzed. And so I do think that he was blitzing less toward the end of the year. I do think they were adjusting more toward the end of the year. But I also think anytime you make a wholesale change like that and throw a wrinkle like that into it, it is going to take adjustment. But, I mean, I'm more on your side, Jim. And trust me, people who listen to this show, they know. I was saying, you know, trade Jamal Adams for whatever you can get for him. If it's a second-round pick, then it's a second-round pick. I was saying trade him before this last draft. Obviously, they weren't going to do that with what they invested in him. So now I think that you have no choice but to go the distance with it.
Yeah, I suppose you're right, Slick. I just wonder about it. I don't think it'd be the worst thing in the world letting him play it out. see what kind of season he has. And, Joe, you'd probably tell me differently and that's not going to happen, Jim. But, we'll see. I like the idea of paying Dwayne Brown. I know he's old, but he's a reliable left tackle. And you see left tackles that are planned at 38, 39 years old. And maybe Dwayne Brown can hold up. You don't necessarily have a guy that can step in for Dwayne Brown just yet. So I don't know if you can afford to pay all these guys. I mean, you got Bobby. You're paying Bobby. I mean, Bobby's overpaid at $18 million right now.
The issue is you have to.
Draw the line somewhere.
The issue is you have to this year. This is such a pivotal crossroads of this current era of Seahawks football, and you have to be able to show Russell Wilson that this is going in the right direction in order to keep him around beyond this season. That means having Dwayne Brown at left tackle. That means having Jamal Adams at strong safety. And so their hands are tied in that regard. They're given the benefit of being able to play a game of chicken with either of those players. They need to get those guys on the field as soon as possible. That's just kind of where I'm at with it, given how much pressure is on them this year to win as it pertains to their marriage with Russell Wilson.
Well, you're right about that. When I wrote that Kitsap Sun column, I just thought, well, okay, let's look at it from a different point of view. And I'm just not so sold on wanting to give him even $16 million, let alone $20 million. But I suppose you're right. Their hands are tied because of how much they gave up for him. Do two wrongs make a right sometimes? I mean, Slick, you think they gave up too much for him.
Yeah.
So you could say, okay, that's one wrong. If you believe like Slick does, and I do, they gave up too much for him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then if you compound it, though, by giving him so much money that down the road you're going, oh, man, we've got these salary cap concerns. We've got other spots on our roster that we want to fill, but we can't. We got to go on the cheap because of how much we paid Jamal Adams. So I don't know. I just think there's a lot to think about there, and I certainly wouldn't go as high as $20 million.
I've been saying that, you know, this whole offseason and even before. But now at this point, I don't see any way to avoid it. Jim, we got to go. I know it seemed like it was fast, and that's because it was, but it's only because we have such a great time with you. How about that?
Okay. Well, I'm starting to lose you, I think, but thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
No, not at all, man, and we'll do it
again.
Hey, Jim, it's great chatting with you, man. Good luck the rest of the round, and truly, let's get out and play here sometime soon.
Okay, I would enjoy that. Take care, man.
You too. We'll do it again next week, Jim. And Joe has all kind of new golfing buddies out of this guest appearance.
That's why I'm here. Why else would I be here?
Exactly. No, it's cool. It's good. It's good for you, and we'll get out there. And golf opportunities, business opportunities, and everything's being thrown at you left and right. We're just showering you with it all. Okay, tweet of the day. This is exciting for me because I followed along with this all night long last night, and so we'll bring it to you if you haven't heard about it. It is the fantasy football bet from hell, and we'll bring it to you next. Sports Radio 950 KGS. If you are a fantasy football player, this tweet of the day is for you. Every day, Puckett and I scour the internet. We scour social media for all the best stories, usually entertaining, at least to us. You can find us at SlickHawk12 on Twitter. Joe, where can we find you on Twitter, by the way?
Joe_fan.
There you go. You can send something to JasonPuckett20 on Twitter.
Now, I don't know all the tweets of the days you guys have had over time, but this has got to be in the Hall of Fame. This thread has got to be in consideration.
I think it will be. You know, Puckett and I have discussed a tweet of the year, kind of at the end of the year that we're thinking. So this will probably be in the running. This, the IKEA guy. Did you see the IKEA guy?
Yes, the IKEA guy is great. That's fantastic. That was great content.
That's in the running. The bobcat attacked his wife.
We don't thank our donors. This isn't PBS.
So that's in the running. But this guy, his name is Lee Sanderlin. He lives in Brandon, Mississippi. I'm just going to read you his tweet, his very first tweet. And this is last night at about 3 p.m. Pacific time. So 5 p.m. out there. Sorry, 4:07 Central. He says, I'm coming to you live from a Brandon, Mississippi Waffle House. I, a total loser, came in last place in my fantasy football league. As punishment, I spend 24 hours in a Waffle House. Every waffle I eat shaves an hour off the clock. It's 4:07 Central. And it just went from there. He chronicled his entire time at the Waffle House with pictures. Started off great. He started out with the goal of eating 7 waffles, which would have shaved seven hours off of his time. The first 2 waffles went down without a problem. No issue. An hour and 10 minutes into it, he was 4 waffles in. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen a Waffle House waffle. I hadn't until this, but these are huge.
They're big.
They're big. They've got the Waffle House logo somehow, like, branded into them.
Griddles these days.
Yeah. So,
magic.
But he was feeling good after 4 waffles after a couple hours. Things started to go sour when he got to his 5th waffle. Now, he got permission from his league commissioner. According to these tweets, he says, I'm allowed to sit in the parking lot, and also if I puke, it won't count against me. So he was able to, if you have, you know, like in the competitive eating, if you have a reversal, as they call it, you're disqualified, that won't go against him here. That will come into play later. Waffle number 5, which is about 3 hours into it, he starts. According to him, it's about the heaviest thing he's ever tried to eat. Found that extra something and polished off waffle 5, which took him about 45 minutes to eat. He says 5 hours shaved off, an incredible amount of agony for my intestines, 16 hours to go. Taking pictures of everything going on outside. There's a man outside the Waffle House dancing in a field of grass with a bucket hat made of camo, shorts, boots, no shirt, just dancing in the sunlight. Then you get up to, he's about 4 hours in. He says, waffle number 6, I am eagerly staring into the abyss, hoping for it all to end. I'm 4 hours down. The 6th waffle. Here's where we run into issues. Damn, this 6th waffle's not going down. Got my first shift change here at the Waffle House, and the homies are getting a good tip, looking to rally. Then he tweets out his roster, which was, as you would imagine, pretty bad. He said he let the waffle get cold, and now it's 4 million times harder to eat the waffle once it's cold. 2 hours later, he finally finishes the 6th waffle, goes outside to the bushes, has a reversal, decides to rally, comes back inside, powers down some coffee, and damn it if this guy didn't go and put down a 7th waffle. Or at least he tried. He tweets, remember when I ordered a 7th waffle? Full crash and burn. Not gonna finish it. My body is in revolt / shutting down. It's time to sit out for a while. Gotta rest up for the stretch run. So he does.
Sure, it's just sitting like cement in his stomach.
Exactly. He hangs out. By the end of it, and I saw this come to its conclusion about 5 o'clock this morning, which would have been 7:07 Central Time. He powered through 9 waffles through the night, so which means that he stayed there a total of 15 hours in this Waffle House and lived through his punishment.
That sounds absolutely miserable.
You had people, I mean,
I just want to know, I want to know what his preparation for that was. Like, I kind of compare it to, like, if I know I've got, like, Diamond Club Mariner seats where you get, like, free food, you know you're just going to be gorging yourself.
Yeah.
Like, I don't eat, like, 2 days prior. Like,
right.
I make sure I'm going with an empty stomach ready to get after it. Like, hopefully that guy didn't eat breakfast and lunch and then, like, showed up to Waffle House, like, mildly hungry. I could eat a couple waffles. Like, you got to go there ready to try to set records for how many waffles you could eat. I don't know. I want to know what his preparation was like, because to me, it seems like maybe he underestimated the challenge at hand.
He became a Twitter phenomenon. He gained thousands of followers. People were dialing into the touch tunes there to put on, like, inspirational music on the jukebox. All of it.
So good. That supports. That's what social media, the founding fathers intended social media to be for. Those
at
moments.
Lee O. Sanderlin on Twitter. That was an epic, epic night for him. Hopefully we have an epic 3rd hour coming up. We're going to talk some more Seahawks, jump into the Alden Smith stuff we missed out on earlier, and find out what we missed today. All that coming up here on Puck and Slick, Sports Radio 950.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.